Jamie and Locker with you here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Green Zone as, yes, the baseball playoffs are underway. We already have one final. We'll dig into that in the starting lineup. San Diego, Chicago Cubs, of course. The Jays are waiting. They have a bye into the American League Divisional Series. That'll begin on Saturday. Though, tomorrow and Thursday, they're going to have some inter-squad games at the Rogers Center with a couple of major leaguers, rotating rosters, filled up by Buffalo Bisons, AAA players. A locker, $10? Would you go for $10?
I'd go.
You go in there for $10?
I like going to baseball games.
Even if it's just an inter squad game at the Rogers Center?
Why not? $10. A dog, a beer?
Yeah, that I was going to say. Are the concessions open, or what are we doing here for the Jays inter squad games?
Well, if they're not, someone needs to get fired, because that would be the dumbest thing I've heard all day.
So
we're going to have a baseball game. Bring your own. BYOB. What? No, of course the concessions are going to be open.
So the Jays doing inter-squad games Wednesday, Thursday, ahead of the American League Divisional Series on Tuesday. Coming up here on the Green Zone, as it is National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. The Western Pro Scouts Foundation in Regina tonight are having a great event celebrating Indigenous hockey players. Some of those on the panel will be on the Green Zone today, including Rich Pilon. You'll hear from him, two-time Stanley Cup champion Dwight King, and the star of Shoresy, former hockey player John Morasty as well. We'll all come up here on
the
Green Zone.
Have you watched Shoresy?
No, I have. Well, I've watched episodes here and there.
I've been meaning to sit down and watch it. It's one of those shows that's on my list.
Everybody tells me I should be watching Shoresy.
Yeah. Yeah. I get the same thing.
So John Morasty will be up later on. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Let's start with the Rough Riders back to practice, and he's back in the starting lineup. Another returnee from the injured list, Kian Schaefer-Baker.
You know, this process has taught me a lot, and when you love something so much, you're willing to go to the end of the world for it. So, and this is something I'll do that for.
Kian Schaefer-Baker, he's been out since really the first quarter of Game 1 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders with Sam Emilis back last week. Now Kian Schaefer-Baker. Looks like Thomas Bertrand-Houdon is also going to be back. Philippe Gagnon is now at left guard starting. He was the sixth offensive lineman. So there was a little bit of positive news. Also today, the Rough Riders released safety Kosi Onyeka. He played against the Edmonton Elks, returned the touchdown that wasn't a touchdown because they blew the play dead. Here is Corey Mace on the release of Kosi Onyeka.
We got a code of conduct here and high standards on and off the field, and unfortunately, Kosi didn't meet that.
So a conduct-related issue led to Kosi Onyeka's release. So now what at safety? C.J. Revis from linebacker to safety. Antoine Brooks Jr., who we really liked in training camp, moving to Sam linebacker. Still no Tavon Campbell. And Marcus Sales was limited today, although that was more of just rest and healing, says Corey Mace. He should be good to go. But there is a ratio issue we need to talk about. We'll do that with Britton Gray, of course. The Riders getting set for Friday Night Football against the Ottawa Red Blacks. 5:30 kickoff, the Green Zone pregame show this Friday at 3:30.
From three down to four down, Monday Night Football saw the Dolphins win their first of the year.
Dolphins trying to pay off a long drive, and it's caught back in the end zone. Touchdown, Darren Waller, his first as a Dolphin.
That was quite a catch.
With the
my goodness. Yeah, he is a baller for sure. The Jets 21, Dolphins 27. The bad news for Dolphin fans, I wonder too, do you think Tariq Hill comes back?
Not this year.
Not this year, but I mean as a Dolphin.
No.
He's done.
He's got no guarantee. He's got a contract for next year, but he's got no signing bonuses or guaranteed money, so they can just cut and don't lose anything out of it.
Yeah, that was the speculation last night. Dislocated knee, several torn ligaments. He had surgery today. Miami with their first win of the season. The Jets are one of three winless teams in 4 weeks of NFL ball, still playing.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't that bad. That game wasn't that bad. It was better than the second game.
Oh, the second game, the Broncos beat up and stomp on the Bengals.
On third down and two, Knicks end zone, Sutton, he's got it. Touchdown, Denver, what a catch.
28-3. The Bengals without Joe Burrow are just awful. Jamar Chase, the star receiver going up to the head coach.
He looked upset.
He should be upset.
Yeah.
Like, that offense can't do anything right now. Just throw the guys the ball. Go deep downfield with some of your star receivers. There's one play where Jamar Chase ran a great route, underthrown. Could have been a big chunk. You can just see the frustration of Jamar Chase.
What do you think of Bo Nix?
Bo's a good young. A lot of people were wrong on Bo Nix when they drafted him last year because he looks like a good young quarterback. 326 yards, two touchdowns. He can run. He's mobile. And the Broncos and the Bengals both sitting at 2-2 on the season on that doubleheader on Monday Night Football last night.
All right, get your calculators out. Minnesota Wild star Kirill Kaprizov is now the highest paid player in the NHL.
Johansson centers, Kaprizov scores! Erickson Ek to Kaprizov, he scores! Poked away, Kaprizov in for a chance to win it, he scores! Kirill, the thrill is for real!
The richest contract in NHL history. That beats Leon Draisaitl from a couple of years ago, $14 million a year. Still not signed the four big names that everybody is going to be keeping an eye on, especially now that the conversation revolving around the fact that Kaprizov finally signed the deal. Is that the domino? Does everybody else fall in line? Jack Eichel. We got Panarin from the Rangers, Kyle Connor, KC for the Jets, and then, of course, Connor McDavid. Still a lot of speculation about Connor McDavid. I still think he's going to sign before the end of the year. You think by the end of the week, or before the beginning of the season, I should say.
No, I think I think Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
From what Tom Gazzola told us and other people, like, he's signing before the season. It may not be the long-term 8-year whatever, but he's
sign
signing
something.
He does not want to be a distraction on a team.
I think you're right.
It makes no sense on how he's looking at anywhere other than Edmonton when you have Leon Draisaitl there.
Yeah.
Like, who else is going to give you that? Nobody. Nobody has Leon Draisaitl to play with in the National Hockey League. So I think that closes down.
There's $10 million sitting in Florida.
Yeah, trade him to Florida. Get Brad Marchand to the Edmonton Oilers in a little bit of a deal. Or Matthew Tkachuk. There you go. He could come back to Alberta.
Oh, please don't! Don't even put that out there, Jamie.
I know there is a button I could hit on that one. Found it. Okay. Tkachuk for McDavid, straight up. Make it happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's get to Major League Baseball.
I'd quit.
One final game, or one final already in the day one of the wild card round.
Nine more here today. A bunt dropped down by Zach McKinstry. Noel will go to first, and Detroit takes the lead. And it's 2-1 Detroit.
And that was the final. 2-1 Detroit, although things got a little tense in the bottom of the ninth inning. There was an error. The Tigers threw it around like a slow pitch team in Regina on a Wednesday night. And then all of a sudden there's a guy on third, and then he ran the bases like a slow pitch player on a Wednesday night, and he got tagged out on the third baseline. And it was a 2-1 final. Tigers take a 1-0 series lead to Rick Skubal. Banking 14 strikeouts today, and he didn't hit one guy in the face with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball.
Which is
14
really
strikeouts for Skubal today. The Padres and the Cubbies, they are going on right now. It is 1-0 San Diego in the fifth inning there. A little bit later on, the Red Sox and the Yankees, that's the one the Blue Jay fans will be watching because the winner plays the Jays in the ALDS, and then the late game, the Cincinnati Reds against the L.A. Dodgers. Of course, the wild card rounds underway in Major Leagues of Baseball. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, a lot of chatter at Rider practice today. Kosyanyeka cut for conduct-related reasons. Is Kerfala Exume going to be back at corner? C.J. Revis is playing safe. What is going on? And Darrell Davis trying to get to the bottom of a topic we talked about on the Green Zone postgame show on Trevor Harris's arm. He did disclose that he had some shoulder and some treatment issues. Is there an issue with Trevor's arm? Darrell Davis asked him the question.
It's a fair question.
You'll hear it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You won't hear speech, you see me dance. That microphone gonna stag the bandstand. I won't pretend we might contend for best in the show. It's 1,800 miles from Music Row.
Jamie Locker with you here on The Green Zone. That's a new one from Colter Wall that came out last week. Album coming out in about a month. Probably ranching right now in southwest Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you here on The Green Zone. As Rough Riders back to practice, shaking off their first two-game losing streak, they're trying to get back at it against the Ottawa Redblacks on Friday. Some news and notes from Rider practice today. One of those was the release of Kosyanyeka.
We got a code of conduct here and high standards on and off the field, and unfortunately, Coast didn't meet that.
Now, the team isn't going to disclose what conduct he violated, but something happened, so Kosyanyeka released. But he was a starting safety. Nelson Lacombo and Jackson Ford are not yet ready. So who's playing safety this week? C.J. Revis, who is the Sam linebacker, getting moved to safety. Antoine Brooks Jr. looks like he's getting moved to Sam linebacker. So a little bit of shuffling going on with the Rough Riders.
Do you like that?
Well, I haven't liked the secondary over the last couple of weeks, so
yeah. Do you want C.J. Revis out of that spot, though?
I've always liked C.J. Revis matter where they put him on the field. Okay. So maybe we'll see. Marcus Sales
this puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Marcus Sales wasn't doing a lot today, so it was Kerfala Exume at corner. We're going to break it down with Britton on you take away a Canadian starter. Where do you put another Canadian starter? I don't think they're going to put Exume in for Marcus Sales unless Sales is injured again, but we're looking around the roster and going, oh, maybe they get creative with that Americanized Canadian rule that they haven't had to utilize yet this year. So that is an issue.
Who qualifies for that?
Well, any veteran, so Micah Johnson, Marcus, like there's a bunch of, this team's so veteran-laden at American, there's a lot of guys you can have that play a Canadian the first snap they come in.
And how long do you have to be Americanized to?
3 years with the team, 4 years total in the Canadian football.
In the Canadian football, okay.
So
there's probably a handful of guys.
A ton of guys the Riders could do.
There we go.
We'll see how creative they get. We were talking about this on the postgame show because last week Trevor Harris talked about shoulder issue tightness, some treatment. And we're like, is there something up with his arm? So Darrell Davis asked Trevor Harris about how he's feeling.
I'll be honest with you. There was a few week stretch where I'm struggling a little bit. I feel tons better right now. And so got some needling done from our training staff here. And so I feel a ton better. And so I'm excited about where I'm at physically right now and can kind of, you know, hit this stretch run of the season and feeling really, really good. Got a few things kind of worked out throughout the last couple weeks and everything's rounded into form now. So glad I'm happy with the way I'm feeling.
Have you ever done needling?
Yep. Acupuncture? You clearly haven't. You're looking at me like I have a toaster for a head.
No. I know about it.
Yeah.
No other people have used it. My daughter in physio has been recommended to use it, but she's not doing that.
Really? She's got a needle thing?
Yeah. So,
okay.
Well,
it really works because what they do is they go into
acupuncture. Like it's
you release the. I'm going to butcher this. Where the needles go, obviously, the tension releases, right? The point is to hit the spots where it worked for me.
That works for a lot of people. So Trevor Harris doing some needling on the arm.
I had it in my neck and shoulders. I had quite a few car accidents when I was younger.
He had a huge patch on his arm in that game against the Elks. I'm wondering if that's what that was. But
some guys are better at it than others, too. Like, you can find people that are really good at it that really find the spots that, you know, they need to hit.
So Trevor says all good, feeling great for the stretch, and Key and Schaefer Baker back on the field with the starting lineup. Back.
Cubbies, tie it up.
Cubbies. They hit it over the wall in Chicago. So they are.
I love that ballpark.
Wrigley. Yeah. Daryl's been there. We'll have to talk to him about it tomorrow on the Green Zone. So the Cubbies hit a home run against the San Diego Padres just moments ago. They're now up 2-1 earlier. Detroit beat Cleveland 2-1. They're up 1-0. Of course, the Yankees and the Red Sox will be the game everybody's watching for Blue Jay fans, because the winner of that one will take on the Blue Jays in the American League Divisional Series. It is National Day for Truth and Reconciliation tonight. The Western Pro Scouts Foundation in Regina have a great event honoring Indigenous hockey players. One of those on the panel tonight is Dwight King. We had a moment to chat with him earlier, and we'll share some of his thoughts on Orange Shirt Day next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Cubby fans celebrating with home runs at Wrigley Field. Of course, their last World Series win, nowhere near the other drought they had of like 108 years between World Series. Britton Gray, by the way, Cubs fan, will be coming in at 3:05.
He likes punishment, eh?
Cowboys, Cubs, Ottawa Senators. Britton and I know how to pick them. Yeah. I got the Raiders.
Canucks.
Yeah. Good times. So Britton's going to be coming in to talk about the Rough Riders day of practice and a little bit of movement here and there around the Rough Riders roster, especially on the defensive side, getting ready for the Ottawa Red Blacks in Ottawa on Friday. Locker gets to go home early on Friday, 3:30 pregame show.
Oh, I got to plan a ripper for Friday.
Or a tea time, one of the two. But
I go out. Woo!
We'll be on the air at 3:30 for the Green Zone pregame show. Of course, the Locker and I will be on the air at 2 on Friday as well before the pregame show. And we are less than a week, or no, we are a week today away from the NHL puck drop. We'll begin our NHL preview series a little bit later. Drew Romanda will be on. Kirill the Thrill Kaprizov. $17 million per season contract today. But right now, Dwight King, we had a chat with him ahead of tonight's event. This is the Western Canada Pro Hockey Scouts Foundation celebrating and honoring Indigenous hockey players on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. It's later tonight in Regina. HockeyScoutsFoundation.com is where you can find more on that. We were able to talk to Dwight about how important it is to have an evening like this and, of course, a national day for truth and reconciliation.
It's extremely important, I think, to recognize people who paved the way for our generation and generations to come are rare to come by, and to be a part of it and hopefully be one of the role models of kids growing up is awesome, and it should be a great event.
Was there a moment when you were younger where you were like, hey, I might be able to make a go of this?
I don't think at a young age. At a young age, you just fall in love with the game.
Yeah.
For me personally, I was fortunate. I had good skills at a young age, so I fell in love with the compete aspect and winning. And the cool thing about sports, obviously, is you meet a bunch of great people along the way. So having all those things intertwine and having support from my family allowed myself and my brother and my sisters to play the game we all loved, and that game that gave us so much back.
Yeah, when you're growing up, Dwight, did you have, like, you're going to First Nations now, I know, talking at different First Nations, talking to youth. Well,
Well, was there somebody or a Métis Indigenous role model for you who, you know, looked like you, came from similar backgrounds, that helped you kind of go, okay, even though I'm from Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, I too could, you know, achieve a dream?
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple. Obviously, you, especially nowadays, you really get to see on TV the coverage of the guys who make it to the highest level. Like as you mentioned at the start with Brian and Jordan, and there's multiple other people who could be named there. For me, it started with our local senior team, watching relatives play there at what we thought was the highest level. And then as things progressed, my brother's 5 years older than I am, so I was fortunate as far as a role model and following footsteps. He went through every progression 5 years before I, even though we were different players. I got to see what it took, the effort put in, the time put in to get there. DJ made it off of his work ethic and his desire to get better, and seeing that part of it really helped me push myself, I guess, to achieve the things I did.
I'm wondering, is the opportunity for Indigenous youth in professional sports or even to participate in sports at a young age and then eventually get to a professional level, do you think that you guys have paved the way that you think it is? You can't say easy, but do you think there are more opportunities for Indigenous youth today?
I would like to hope so. As far as having more role models visual out there for them to aspire to be, I think our numbers have increased. With saying that, I think there still needs to be some growth, especially in some of the rural areas or the isolated areas, just as far as opportunity. But like you said, as long as we're progressing and getting a little better each day, I think that's where we can start and hopefully see the results a couple of years down the road.
Dwight King joining us here on the Green Zone as they celebrate Indigenous Hockey Legends Truth and Reconciliation Day. So, Dwight, there was no, you know, Truth and Reconciliation Day, no real Orange Shirt Day when you were growing up. How important is this representation now? Is this knowledge? Like, my kids are learning more and more at their schools on Truth and Reconciliation and Orange Shirt Day, and we have way more conversations than when I grew up. We're pretty well the same age. How important have these days become, and how important are they moving forward?
Extremely. I think the educational aspect of it is extremely important to understand a whole culture of people and their story. I guess a lot of the people directly impacted are in their later stages, are passed on. So we'll never quite know their journeys. But the impact that they went through, I think, is still felt in this generation. And it's the path of healing, I would say. So understanding and learning and getting better is a big part of life. And I think this is obviously a step in the right direction.
Dwight, those that know your path in the NHL are aware that you are a Los Angeles King, but you had a cup of coffee in Montreal with the Habs. I'm wondering, was that your team growing up as a kid? Was that the Canadian team you cheered for?
Canadian team, no. just where we are geographically, Edmonton. Edmonton, okay. That was the first team my uncle took me to watch live. So a little more ties to the West here.
Okay.
And then my childhood team was Colorado. So that's,
oh, cool.
Might have been just so that they had their kind of dynasty years in those peak years of my interest in hockey. So that's kind of my background there.
Dwight King, Stanley Cup champion. What's it like to bring the cup home to the youth? Like, what was it like seeing their faces light up? You're bringing the Stanley Cup back to Meadow Lake.
It was definitely a cool experience. Two pretty long days now that I get to look back on it. But as far as giving back, Jeff Friesen, also from Meadow Lake, won it with the Devils. And I still remember when he brought it back to our rink at the time, and the experience of going through the line and getting the pitcher. So first time through, I was fortunate enough I got to do the similar thing. I honestly went off the memory, and I remember my memories of feeling that day. So I thought I could offer something similar. And then the second time, we just built a new facility out here on Flying Dust First Nation. So our family hockey school was going on that week, and I was fortunate enough that it all kind of aligned and got to bring it out here and put some smiles on some young hockey players.
Okay, was there a meal? What were you eating out of the cup or drinking out of the cup while it was in Meadow Lake?
nothing too crazy. Obviously, the drinks, depending on who you are, you can use your imagination. A lot of different flavors came out of there. The one memory, honestly, would probably be my dad. He doesn't drink alcohol, so he drank a whole pop, which is impressive. But other than that, yeah, we kind of let people pick their drink of choice, and then got to have that memory.
So the King family, you played pro, your brother played pro, your sisters were heck good hockey players. What were the King games like on the pond around Meadow Lake? Like, were the girls tossing in snowbanks? Like, what was going on with the King family hockey games?
Well, I guess the good thing from my perspective is DJ is 5 years older, so we didn't get into too many shinny games. So we're old enough to understand how good we are and what our emotions were at the time. So nothing too crazy. And then Dana, which is the third child, is closer to my age. So we actually played together quite a few years growing up. And brother-sister rivalries aren't, I don't think, as intense. At least ours weren't. We were more supportive of each other, and that's... We were fortunate. Mom and Dad probably didn't have to break up too many arguments, maybe between the girls, because they are closer in age. But other than that, pretty fair play.
I'm curious, Dwight. You played quite a few years in the league. Is there one guy that you came up with that was a real character, like somebody that on one of your teams, even if it wasn't even in the pros?
I guess character wise. Matt Green, I would say, would be one of the best, I guess, humans would be the easiest way to say it. As far as leadership qualities, likability, and just someone who could you relate to. No matter who you were on the team, I think he found a way to find common ground.
Nice.
Funny guy, too. So anything was going on, he would be someone you wouldn't feel awkward or shy away from a conversation.
Now, Dwight, as we wrap up, I'm just final one is, what do you hope people are thinking about Truth Reconciliation Day and when they send their kids to school with their orange shirts on?
Yeah, I think just keep educating themselves, understanding, and then just celebrating us as people, and everybody should be celebrated, not just the Indigenous people, but we all are one human race, and you'd like to see growth, and hopefully everybody keeps healing and keeps developing into producing a better world.
That is Dwight King on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation tonight in Regina with the Western Canada Pro Hockey Scouts Foundation. They're celebrating and honor Indigenous hockey players, including Dwight King. Later, you'll hear from John Morasty, Rich Pilon, and O'Brien Troche, Jordan Tutu will be on hand as well tonight for more HockeyScoutsFoundation.com.
And Brian is going to jump on with Evan Bray tomorrow, from what I'm hearing.
Yes, indeed. You'll hear from Brian Troche with Evan Bray tomorrow here on CJME and CKOM. And coming up on this day in sports history, a memorable evening in the history of Major League Baseball playoffs. Yankee fans will be excited to relive this one next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Back in time.
On this day in sports history, September 30th, it was Game 1 of the American League Divisional Series, and the New York Yankees did something in the playoffs no team had ever done in the centuries-old history of baseball. It happened while they were down in the game to the Cleveland Indians at the time, and it was, in that game, an ugly, looked like a blowout for Cleveland, and then history.
One on, two out, range, hits it to right. We're tied. Jeter into left field. Giles back at the wall. Yankees lead. Now the 0-2 to O'Neill is smoked to center. Grissom back. Back to back to back. And an 8-6 New York lead.
Yes, it was 6-3. And for the first time ever, a team went back to back to back home runs in a playoff game, as it was Reigns, Jeter, and O'Neill for the New York Yankees.
Jeter, eh?
Against Cleveland.
Clutch.
Now, that series didn't go well for the Yankees. They did lose in five to Cleveland, but on this day in sports, they did it. It was the first team to ever do it. It was back-to-back-to-back home runs in a playoff game. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The wild card round is going on as we speak. Earlier today, Detroit Tigers took a 2-1 win over Cleveland. So they're up 1-0 in that series. Then, of course, right now it is San Diego against the Cubbies at Wrigley Field. The Cubs were down, but they pulled into a 2-1 lead over the Padres. And then later tonight, the Yankees and the Red Sox, and the Dodgers and the Reds. Blue Jays will be waiting for the winner of the Red Sox and the Yankees on Saturday. Kirill Kaprizov, he's rich, and he just got richer. He signed a mega deal in the NHL, the richest contract signed, pending Connor McDavid's extension, but it is 8 years, $17 million per season for Kirill Kaprizov. Drew Remenda is going to come up to break down that deal. Risky, smart. Is that the going rate for a star player now in the National Hockey League? But coming up next, a lot of Rider news to break down with Britton Gray. He has the very latest on the green and white next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.